It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Labor Day, according to the U.S. Department of Labor, is a creation of the labor movement and is dedicated to the social and economic achievements of American workers. It constitutes a yearly national tribute to the contributions workers have made to the strength, prosperity, and well-being of our country. That comes from the Department of Labor website. Labor Day became a federal holiday in 1884 after many states had passed legislation honoring workers. Today, labor unions are struggling against state and federal legislation and court rulings that greatly curtail their actions. We'll look at the state of labor on this Labor Day. And we're taking your calls, 800-642-1234, ideas at WPR.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. So this is my first morning show Labor Day, but every year we talk with Phil Neuenfeld. He is the president of the Wisconsin State AFL-CIO. Phil, welcome to the program.
Good morning, and happy first Labor Day, I guess.
Happy first Labor Day in Wisconsin, which is the birthplace of the labor union, yes?
Well, it's the birthplace of some labor unions. That is correct. Yes.
And how long has the labor movement been going on here in Wisconsin?
I'm not sure the exact year. It goes back to the 1800s.
So
it was a little before my time.
Little before my time. In 1884, we finally got a Labor Day. It was one of the first federal holidays. What is the purpose and what is the tradition behind this day?
Well, I think, you know, when you opened up, you know, with what the Department of Labor said on the website, I think it does kind of embrace, you know, what Labor Day is about. I mean, clearly over the years, you know, for a lot of people, it's, you know, that last day before the end of the summer or start of the school year.
Right.
Or good day to barbecue or a good day to do this or that. But, you know, the intent for the holiday and how we're seen observed by so many people around the state of Wisconsin is, in fact, looking more at its original origins. We have Labor Day events, picnics, marches, get-togethers all across the state of Wisconsin. And that's also happening all across the country. So people are coming together and, you know, talking about where we are as a movement, about where we are as labor, where we are as workers, you know, and where we are as a country or as a state, whatever the case may be. So, you know, people are becoming more engaged, they're becoming more aware of what's going on around them. And so, you know, Labor Day, you know, reflects those things. And
right.
That's what we wanted to do.
When they come together, what are they talking about? Are they saying, whoa, this was a really bad year? Are they looking to move forward? What do people in this country generally think of the state of labor?
Well, I think there's two kind of broad categories. You know, clearly people, you know, always have some discussion around the economy. And then the second thing that people look at is, you know, the state of politics. And it's not just politics, but it's how politics play out in terms of how it affects their everyday life around certain policy or certain laws or certain court decisions and how it affects them. So, you know, those are two pretty broad categories. And you know, the labor movement is a broad movement. It represents, you know, workers in many different sectors. And so the perception of those things is, you know, always somewhat different, but yet it's the same. So when people have discussions about the economy, you know, they look at, you know, what's going on in their workplace, what's going on, you know, in their own neighborhoods, what's going on, you know, as they, you know, the old term of sitting at the kitchen table and figuring out their budget, where they're at with different things. All that stuff comes into effect. You know, every Labor Day, the Center on Wisconsin Strategies, or as it's affectionately called, COWS, releases a State of Working Wisconsin report. And I really would advise your listeners to go online and check out that report, because just the executive summary alone really does outline where we are as a state of Wisconsin for workers. It shows things like, you know, is there job growth? Yes, but it's considerably slower than a lot of surrounding states. It talks about wage stagnation. It talks about how the wage gap between women and men still exists. Although it's changed somewhat, it's now 84 cents to a dollar, which is not, you know, a good situation. It talks about how one out of every five Wisconsin workers make less than $11.45 an hour. And, you know, we can do better than this. We should be doing better than this, because that leads to people who are working, who are reliant on, you know, subsidies, who are living at poverty wages. United Way also released a report that shows how, you know, the demand for its agencies is increasing, despite this discussion of a robust economy. It's very clear that the division between the top and the bottom is coming more pronounced. So a lot of economic discussion, I think, is going on around, you know.
United Way actually released a report looking, the Alice report, looking at how much people need to live, just basic needs, and they came up with a figure of about $61,000 that people need for basic needs, and many people in Wisconsin don't make near that for a family of four. So that was, and we had them on recently to discuss this. I want to call out to people, give us a call. This is the Labor Day show, and we want to take your calls and get your opinions. 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org or WPR Mornings, which is on Twitter. I want to talk about this slower job growth in Wisconsin. It seems to me that our issues are twofold. We have slower job growth here, and the jobs that are being created are low-wage, really non-livable jobs. So why is it that Wisconsin is having this slower job growth than, say, okay, I'm going to compare us to Minnesota. Say Minnesota.
Well, you know, our belief, you know, for one of the reasons that you're seeing that is that, you know, it's connected. If people make more money, they have more money to spend in the economy. And if they make less money, they have less money to spend in the economy. So that money that's being spent in their local communities in Main Street all results in job opportunities, job growth, and better prosperity for all. So we think clearly that that's, you know, one situation. We think Wisconsin has, you know, gone down the road of a low-wage, you know, strategy and low-skill strategy on some level. So it's created a problem that I think is playing out. It's one that we've talked about for years and tried, you know, various ways to bring it to people's attention, and it seems to go, you know, somewhat. I don't know if people didn't necessarily believe it or if they needed to see the proof for it or whatever, but the proof is there now when you look at surrounding states and what's happening and the policies that they have. I mean, you know, Minnesota has not been had the anti-union attacks that Wisconsin has had. So it's a better place for workers to go.
We are taking calls. We've got Chris from Port Wing. Chris, welcome to the program.
Good morning, and thanks for the show. Happy Labor Day.
Happy Labor Day to you.
Yeah, I just want to remind folks that, you know, in this time when we're looking at labor, we can remember labor history, and the fact is that blood was shed by union members, men and women, to get an eight-hour workday, to get a weekend, to end child labor. This history is kind of in the past, in the dark, and we've got to remember it to understand the value of unions. We're at a time when workers are being crushed with wages that haven't been going up since 1980. That's a long time to have wages depressed. People need to understand that unions brought us things that we take for granted, and it would really help to celebrate the history of labor during this holiday.
Chris, thank you very much for that. We are talking to Phil Neuenfeld, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO, on this Labor Day morning. We're going to be back in a moment with your calls and with Phil. It's the Morning Show. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. We are celebrating Labor Day today with Phil Neuenfeld, the president of the Wisconsin State AFL-CIO. And we are taking your calls. Wisconsin was one of the first states to form labor unions. Are you proud of that history? Why do you think labor unions have been in decline since the mid-20th century? Do you belong to a union, or did maybe your father or mother belong to a union? What are the perks? 800-642-1234, ideas at WPR.org, or you could tweet us at WPR Mornings. Phil Neuenfeld, one of the things that we were looking at the other day in preparing for this was that there's a Gallup poll that shows that 62% of people approve of unions. It roughly matches the 2017 level, which was the highest since 2003. Given the fact that unions have had such a bad year in courts, why do you think that number is going up?
Well, first of all, you know, I wanted to just make a comment on the previous caller's.
Sure, absolutely.
I agree with him 100% that people really do need to remember the history of labor and look at the sacrifice that went into creating so many things that we take for granted now. And, you know, we have a labor history society that has a conference every year around different subjects to connect the history of labor to current events. There's things like recognizing or remembering the Bayview Massacre and other atrocities that happened to workers across the state. So very much agree with him, and, you know, we're doing what we can to make sure that we continue to draw those connections.
So before we get to the polling again, you need to tell me what the Bayview Massacre was. You need to remind us.
It's it was called the Rolling Mills. It was located in Bayview, Wisconsin, and workers went on strike, and the governor at that time ordered the National Guard to show up, and they opened a fire on the workers. And I believe it was 8 workers ended up dying. I could be wrong on the number, but I think it was 8 workers that died that day.
Interesting.
So it was a day of, you know, blood and sacrifice indeed. But it really does show, you know.
Okay, so let's get to this polling. Why do you think so many people in this country support unions, but union membership is only 10%?
Well, I think that there's a variety of factors that go to this, and there is, despite our previous discussion about where we are as an economy, there are some reasons to have some optimism this Labor Day. And the 62% favorable polling from the Gallup poll, I think, does reflect how people view unions in a very positive way. I think that what's happening is, for a long time, you know, unions work to improve the rights, not just of their members, but of all workers. So over time, you have higher wages, you have better benefits, but importantly, you have rights that are made into laws. And, you know, people have come to learn to, you know, rely on those rights, to expect those rights, as they should. So what we've seen in recent years is we've seen, you know, through the different administrations, those rights are coming under attack. They're being removed, deregulation. The rights of workers are basically being trampled on. So when you look at, if you want to, you know, make sure that you have equal pay, if you want to make sure, you know, or try to have a shot at sick days or Family Medical Leave Act, if you want to look at, you know, have better health insurance or decent wages.
Or work in a safe place.
Or work in a safe place, safety being very, very important. And I was going to get to that. But the only way that you can really make sure that you have a voice in the workplace and have some shot at those sorts of things in this environment is by, in fact, forming a union.
Right.
And I think people are starting to recognize that and starting to know and realize that if they want to have these securities and have these rights, that, you know, you have to take action, you know, among yourselves and form a collective bargaining unit. I think that, you know, we're seeing more and more people come to realization that as unions have come under attack, that it's not just affected union members' paychecks, but it's affected their paychecks. You know, the differences and the facts that show the differences between a union worker and a non-union worker are pretty stark in terms of the wages that a union worker makes to a non-union worker on average. So I think when people are looking at these things, they're starting to understand that there is a real need for organized labor. The other thing I want to say is that, you know, when you look at the favorable polling, you have to look at how that breaks out a little bit, because mm-hmm. you're seeing a lot of favorable views and more people joining who are, you know, what they consider youth. And so we, you know, there used to be a discussion, oh, I don't know how many years ago, about, well, what's the future of labor? Is there a future for labor in this economy? Because I think people always thought the rights and protections would always be there, what value will unions have? And I feel very optimistic that people are now seeing that organized labor does have a place in this economy, does have a place in this society, and that it's necessary. And they're supportive of that. And, you know, other polls show that most people, if they had an opportunity to join a union, they would join a union. And despite the favorability and the changes that we're seeing, you know, we are seeing more people join the union movement. We've had growth the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
But it is still difficult for people to organize because laws are basically still stacked against us. So there's a lot of work that needs to be done to create a level playing field that will allow people to join unions, you know, that want to join unions.
We will. I want to dig into that in a moment in terms of people starting a union. I also will say that most of my union experience, my union knowledge is performance unions. And so safety is one of the bigger things to actors' equity. Money is important, but making sure their actors are safe is a big thing to them, too. We are taking calls. Ed from West Allis. Ed, welcome to the program.
Salve. Felix D.A. Labra. Happy Labor Day in Latin.
Thank you.
It's been a disastrous year for us in organized labor, 2018. Let me give you three examples. We have this Democratic nominee, the male version of Mary Burke, in 2018, Tony Evers, who in his television ads and his appearances around the state has uttered three words or concepts. Roads, healthcare, education. Never mentions March of 2015 and right to work and the disastrous effects of right to work on those of us in organized labor. We had a wonderful candidate, Senator Vinehout, but we ignored her. Secondly, Mr. Walker, 3 weeks ago, came to Modern Plastics in Kenosha with his bus tour. We have 15,000 retirees who could have been there picketing in front of that plant, showing the disastrous effects of Walkerism on this state. I was the only labor official to be picketing that day, and those workers are crying out for a labor union at that plant. And the third is our wonderful operating engineers out in Waukesha, Local 139, and the business manager hobnobbing with Mr. Walker and Ms. Clefish, giving support again after Act 10, after Right to Work, after all the disastrous labor hatred that Mr. Walker has given Wisconsin. And we still have a major labor official supporting Scott J. Walker.
Okay, Ed, thank you for that. I want to throw that we have to go to break soon. I want to throw this to Phil. Phil, Ed is having problems with the fact that people are not coming out for organized labor, and organized labor is not standing up, it seems, as much as he wants them to.
Sure. Well, thank you for your call, Jerry. Three things. I guess he raised. One was Evers' position as far as organized labor. We've met with Tony Evers. He is on our side as far as it comes to our position on collective bargaining and the need for workers to have that collective bargaining. And so, you know, it's, I'm very confident of that. As far as Modern Plastics and if there was a rally there or not a rally there, you know, I'm not sure. Nobody made me aware of anything at Modern Plastics. I can say that as far as, you know, in Wisconsin, what people have seen since 2011 in terms of mobilization, I think we've led the country in terms of different types of mobilizations that we've seen in the state of Wisconsin. And as far as Operating Engineers 139 and her leadership, that is just not true what he stated. I mean, I meet with them, I talk with them, and they are not supporting Scott Walker. So, you know, maybe at one time that was the case, but that is simply not the case now. And it's just simply not true. So, you know, that's all I can say.
We are talking about the state of labor this Labor Day. We are taking your calls, 800-642-1234. What do you think of Labor Day? Are you aware of the rich history that labor unions have given to this country? Are you aware of the fact that this weekend that you just enjoyed was given to you by organized labor, that was fought for by organized labor? Have you joined a union? Would you like to join a union? And maybe you feel that something is stopping you. 800-642-1234. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. We're going to be back with more from Phil Neuenfeld of the AFL-CIO of Wisconsin in a moment. It's the Morning Show. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. We are looking at the state of labor in the U.S. and Wisconsin in particular on this Labor Day, and we're taking your calls. How are labor unions looked upon where you work? Have you ever had a boss tell you he or she would fire anyone who attempted to unionize? 800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org is the place to email us. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. We're sitting here with Phil Neuenfeld. He's the president of the Wisconsin State AFL-CIO. And Phil, we have some calls coming in here. Rich from Two Rivers, welcome to the program.
Yeah, good morning, Terry. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning.
I lied about my age when I was young, and I worked on the docks in New York for the Teamsters, Loan Freight. And I actually got to shake hands with Hoffa. And my statement is more of a statement than a question is, what went wrong in this state? If we started with the first labor union, and now we're the weakest state as far as labor and laws and control, what went wrong? That's my only question. I'll take my answer off here.
That's a question, Rich. I don't really want to go through the entire history of Act 10, Phil, but give us kind of an overview here.
What went wrong? Well, I think it's a complicated question. You know, when people run for office, you know, right now in this political environment, you know, truth is seldom spoken. I think if when Scott Walker ran for office, if he'd have talked about what his agenda was for workers in terms of taking away their rights and right to work, Act 10 and what its implications would mean, I'm sure he would not have won office in the first place. You know, we do have him on tape, you know, in a meeting in Janesville where he talked about, you know, a divide and conquer strategy and various things like that.
This was before or after the election?
I believe that was prior to. Oh boy, I can't recall if that was during or prior to. But at any rate, you know, there was some knowledge of what the intent was, but I don't believe that people really believed it. Mm. I think they had a hard time understanding what the implications would be. And, you know, the model of politics, especially that Republicans use now, is you just take a saying, you know, make America great again, make Wisconsin great again, what have you. And, you know, that statement, those, you know, lines are supported by millions and millions of dollars of TV time and airtime. And pretty soon people are hearing that on the radio on their way home from work. They're hearing it on TV at night. And pretty soon they start to believe it without really understanding what the real agendas are, the intents are. And so I think that he's in big trouble this time. His favorability is you know, at 48% or 47% for an incumbent. That's low, and I think people have woken up to what's going on. You know, I remember sitting in a polling group of people prior to the election, and these were Republican leaning union members, and they were asked the question, do you believe that if Walker's elected that he would support right to work? And they all said, no, no, they would never do that here. People were just in disbelief that that would happen. I think the Republican Party that's come into office now is very different than the Republican Party that was in office
right.
in the 60s or 70s.
Or even 80s or 90s with Tommy Thompson, yes.
Correct, correct. Very, very true. You know, it's now being run by, you know, out-of-state donors, and, you know, Wisconsin became the focal point. You know,
but those out-of-state donors bring in a lot of money, and as you just detailed, money works. Money buys ads. It buys influence at repetitiveness that that kind of surrounds us and gets into our heads. How do you combat that?
Well, the only, I mean, there's one way you can combat big money in politics, and that's by organizing. And, you know, that's what our political model is. You know, we work to try to, you know, educate union members, make sure people are educating each other in their communities, making sure that people get out to vote. And quite frankly, you have to spend a lot of time setting the record straight. You know, when they talk about making, you know, being being the family, pro-family candidate, you have to ask the question, whose families are they being pro? Because it's not for all families. When you talk about making America great, who are you making it great for? You know, you have to ask those sorts of questions rather than just fall for the slogans. And that's always harder to do, but that is what we have to do. We have to make sure we set the record straight up between what people are claiming, what they're saying to be for, versus, you know, what their actions have shown, what their voting records are. But I think that there is reason for optimism, because when you look at Wisconsin this past year, another reason for optimism is, you know, there's been two special elections that have happened in areas that Trump won that have been red areas. And in both cases, in both special elections, people, you know, came out and voted for a Democratic candidate that did support workers' rights, among other progressive attitudes. So you look at those two special elections, you look at what happened in the Supreme Court election, and you're starting to see how people are waking up and understanding that, hey, you know, this is not necessarily what we were told. This is not what we want. We deserve better than what we're getting, and they're going to the polls and making that happen. In both those cases, well, actually in all three cases, Wisconsin was once again national news as far as evidence of is there a blue wave or not a blue wave. But, you know, these victories, you know, are reasons for optimism, you know, for the future.
And we are taking your calls this morning on this Labor Day show. Joanne from Monona, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi.
I just, anyway, I'm a public school teacher, and I would just like to say that over the years, the unions have done a lot of good things. Salaries are somewhat a work between the state and the unions, but I think the unions are really strong when it comes to helping create conditions to help teachers be effective in their classrooms. And I'm wondering what your guest thinks of the idea that was floated a while ago about combining the U.S. Department of Education with the U.S. Department of Labor.
Ah, interesting. Thank you for that, Joanne. Phil, what do you think of that?
I'm not sure I heard the...
There's been I believe it was floated a few months ago by Trump, an idea to combine the Departments of Education and the Department of Labor.
Well, I don't know if that would be a good thing. I mean, I don't have a lot of, like, information on it, but I think the Department of Education, the Department of Labor, each department has very important roles, or should have very important roles, in terms of making sure we have a good education system and a fair labor system. I don't see how combining them, and especially if it's proposed by this administration, would probably be a positive thing.
We are taking your calls here, 800-642-1234. James from Wisconsin Rapids, welcome to the program.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
I work for a company that has about 900 jobs around the country and about 300 here in Wisconsin. We don't have health insurance or 401k. like wondering at what point do you think it's good to start a labor, or do you need a certain amount of employees? And you suggest that you start a labor. I just don't really hear about people starting labors anymore. I guess that's kind of the point I'm getting at. Thank you.
Okay. James doesn't have the best connection. So what he said was that he works for a company of about 900 people. They don't have insurance. They don't have any 401k. He wants to know if they're at a point where they can start a labor union. Do you have to have a number of people to start one? And how they go about doing that?
Well, if he's having discussions with coworkers, and if people feel like, you know, they don't have insurance, they have no retirement security, which, went, you know, earlier when we talked about how people are viewing unions, you know, clearly, you know, pension security or retirement security is a very important issue as well. Then you know, you need to have over 50% of the people vote to have a union. My advice would be to, not knowing the plant or the type of work, but, you know, he could contact me or someone else to talk about, you know, who a good union might be to, you know, help you look at the situation and plan the process. And once again, I have no idea if the employer would be, I'm sure they would be, you know, somewhat obstructive, whatever the name is. Because they usually are, but how hostile would they be or not be?
Okay, so here's my question. I've been wanting to get to this for a while. First of all, it's hard to know what union you should join, you know, what union would represent you. So there's, I don't know if there's a clearinghouse for this is what you do, this is what the union represents. But also, I've heard people talk about being in situations where they really want to start a union, but their employer threatens to fire them. And they know or they think it's illegal for their employer to fire them. But by the time they go through the court system and win that suit, they've been fired and their lives have been overturned. So what are the processes for starting a union? And what do you say to people who are afraid?
Well, I mean, they have reason to be afraid. That's one of the things we covered earlier when we talked about when people, you know, despite the favorability and people understanding the needs for unions, you know, the laws are still, you know, it still makes it hard. But I do want to point out, I mean, just recently we had a plant in Milwaukee that organized with overwhelming numbers. You just have to make sure that your coworkers are with you and that you stand together. Because you can expect the employer to make threats and intimidation and other sorts of things. So, you know, people like your previous caller and others, I want to encourage them to have discussions. And you can have discussions. You know, a lot of times union organizers are identified people that they know.
Okay, Phil, we are talking to Phil Neuenfeld of the Wisconsin State AFL-CIO. We're talking about unions on this Labor Day, and we'll be back in a moment. It's the Ideas Network. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. We are talking about the state of labor unions today on this Labor Day. We're talking with the president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO, Phil Neuenfeld. And we are taking your calls, 800-642-1234. Phil, we've got some really good calls here. Nate from Milwaukee, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you very much for having me. I was calling in to say that I think the people want more unions that are sympathetic, but activist ideologues, be they politicians or judges, are often put in positions of power specifically to make it harder for labor unions to be organized and maintained, and this is often done under the very deceptive label of being for freedom, supposedly, when it's actually taking freedom away from the workers. Act 10 here in Wisconsin is an excellent example of that because it bans unions from being able to negotiate for things that the workers might want those unions to negotiate for. Also, if you take a look at the certification elections, in practical terms, Scott Walker uses the vote of anyone who doesn't vote in that certification election to vote against the union even continuing to exist. And Scott Walker usually ends up voting more individually in any union certification election than any specific actual member of the union. So this is undermining people's ability to actually choose, if they have a union, what it negotiates for. And just to, as a side point, on the video you guys mentioned of divide and conquer, that was done after Walker became governor-elect, but before Act 10 was announced to the public. And as a side note, I usually refer to right to work as less rights at work, because that's actually the end goal, to make it harder for a union to do things on behalf of the workers.
So, Nate, thank you for that. Phil, I want to clarify something here. Not voting does equals a no vote?
It sure does, and I want to thank that caller for his comments. They were very clear and concise. And it shows the value, or I shouldn't say value, the necessity of making sure that you support the right candidates in elections. Because, you know, we used to use a saying back, oh, God, many years ago, that all the rights that we've gained over the years can be eliminated with the swipe of a pen. And I think that saying, you know, people started to not necessarily believe it, but I think that recent events over the last 8 years have proven that to be true. As rights have been taken away, they can be restored. And you just simply have got to have people elected to office who support our agenda. And that's one of the, you know, so oftentimes I get a question like, well, why are unions involved in politics? Well, you know, this previous call and this discussion, you know, really underscores the necessity for us to be involved in politics, because we have to try to set, if not, I mean, we would all be much worse off. We've got to have a voice, and that's another thing that organized labor does, is it provides a vehicle for people to have a voice in politics, to have a voice in their workplace. You know, we have to remember that it's, you know, still one person, one vote, even though sometimes with the way elections end up in courts, you have to wonder where this democracy is headed, without a doubt. But, yes, it underscores the need to be involved in politics.
So we were talking about the jobs that have been created haven't necessarily been livable wages jobs in Wisconsin. We have a new corporation that is coming into Wisconsin. Foxconn says it will create up to 13,000 jobs. Are these going to be livable? And what are the union options here with Foxconn?
Well, you know, the plant has to be built. Happy to say, you know,
will it be built with union labor?
Well, I don't know if it's going to be built entirely with union labor, but I do know a lot of our members and people will be put to work to build it. What will happen with the jobs? How many jobs will there be? What will those jobs be like? How much will they be paid? You tell me. There's the story that, you know, that was in the beginning of it, and there's evidence now that that may not be the case. And, you know, will those workers come from Wisconsin or come from Illinois? I mean, the fact that, you know, this governor has to go to the state house and ask for, what was it, $8 million to advertise for workers in Illinois, I mean, that just says a lot right there.
Mm-hmm.
It speaks to his failed policies in education, job training, in supporting things like labor, which supports apprenticeships and all sorts of things to prepare the workers that are needed for these sorts of jobs. So his own actions underscore his failures. I mean, that's us, you know, using our tax dollars to pay for Bears fans to come up here and work in Packerland.
To pay for Bears fans. I love that. We are talking to Phil Neuenfeld, who is the president of the Wisconsin State AFL-CIO. We're taking your calls, 800-642-1234. Kim from Eau Claire, welcome to the program.
Yes, good morning. I understand all the good that unions have done and how they've improved the workforce and so on, but personally, I have never had a good experience with a union. I drove truck many years ago, and the Teamsters came in and promised the workforce the moon and the stars. And shortly after they got there, when the Galaxy wasn't forthcoming, they put them out on strike. And I left at that time because I saw how ugly it was getting. And the guys stood out there all winter long. They stood out there for months on that strike line. And then the union walked in and said, you know what, this just isn't working for us, and we'll see you, bye. And they left. I had a nephew that back when the General Motors plant was in Janesville, got a job down there, and the kid was a real go-getter, and he was doing his best. And right away, the other union members started beating him down, saying, you cut that out, because if you start getting too productive, the rest of us have to. Mm-hmm. And they would force them to slow down if they wanted to work there with them. The last time I had a job with a union, the union headquarters was in another state. Their representation was almost nil. The only thing that they were a union was in name only. They really did nothing for us except collect our dues. And every time you would mention union representation to one of the company executives, they would laugh at you. That's been my experience with unions.
Kim, thank you very much. I also want to add, Phil, that I have known a state legislator from another state who was physically intimidated by union members to vote for a specific bill. And we also mentioned Jimmy Hoffa, who died under mysterious circumstances connected to the mob. Unions sometimes don't have a great reputation. How do you get past that?
Well, that's a lot of stuff.
But, you know, Kim's point is well taken, that sometimes, you know, it decreases productivity because people feel comfortable with, you know, well, the union will protect me.
Well, I think overall, I respectfully disagree with that opinion. I mean, union workers across all trades, we bring quality to a job. We bring production to a job. We know and recognize that employers have to make money for us to make our paychecks, and nobody's stupid that way. I don't know what happened with the Teamsters and his situation there. I really can't answer that. But I think that, you know, like anything, you know, there can be circumstances that people feel that someone or some organization doesn't do enough for them or what have you. But overall, you know, you have to look at the positive impact that unions have left or that people are seeing that we've made in the state and across this country. And, you know, things like the 8-hour day, things like overtime pay, so many things that people take for granted are a result of collective action of workers through unions. And so, you know, organized labor touches people's lives in many ways that they oftentimes don't understand. And, you know, it's, you know, I just ask people to take a look at that. Look what's happened since, you know, union numbers have declined and right. How much more difficult it is. It points to the fact that, you know, the stronger the union density in an industry, the better off everyone's wages are going to be, benefits are going to be, and so on.
And I would add that it's your union and you can make it what you want to be.
That too. I was just going to say that.
Thank you, Phil Neuenfeld. Phil is the president of the Wisconsin State AFL-CIO. I'm glad to have talked to you today, Phil.
Well, nice to speak to you too. And thank you, everybody, and happy Labor Day to everybody. And thinking of benefits of Labor Day, happy Labor Day.
Enjoy
your union holiday.
Yes. Well, for people who have off, we're going to be back in a moment. I'm Carrie Kaufman. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network.